Well, I'm no musician or vocalist, obviously, but it sounded like that last note was perfection. It was perfect. And thank you, Miss Brenda. Thank you, choir. And Jeremy, appreciate so much your ministry to us this morning. If you brought your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And let me tell you, moms, this morning, happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for sharing it with us this morning. You know, being a mom is not easy. It's tough. It's stormy, oftentimes for mothers. Maybe you can relate to the mom who was in bed. She had the flu, and she was sicker than 10 dogs. And so her 9-year-old daughter decided, I'm going to help take care of you. And so about 10 o'clock that morning, the daughter brought in a pillow and a magazine for the mother, and she said, thank you so much. She said, also, Mama, I made you a cup of tea. And so mother took the tea, and it was warm. She said, honey, that's delicious. She said, where did you learn to do this? And she said, I learned it from watching you. She said, I took some water, put it in a pot, put in some leaves, boiled the water, strained the cup. And she said, I couldn't find the strainer that you used, and so I used the floss water instead. And so the mom said, you did what? She said, oh, Mom, don't worry. I didn't use the new floss water. I used the old one. And so I bet many of you moms can relate to that kind of story. It's just not easy to be a mom. I heard about one lady that said, I had 3 theories of child raising with no children. Now I have 3 children and no theories. And so it's just not easy. It's messy, it's overwhelming, it's daunting, it's frustrating, it's exhausting. Maybe you can understand the lady who said, my nickname is Mom. My first name is Mom, 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 Mama, Mother, Mama. And I'm afraid that's the case for a lot of you moms today. And so today we pause and we say thank you a million times a million for all that you do, all of your sacrifices, all of your understanding, your mercy. We honor you today, and we appreciate you today. Now, I recognize at the same time, Mother's Day is not easy for everybody here. For some, it's a difficult day. Maybe this is your first Mother's Day without your mom, and it's a very painful day for you. Maybe you don't have a good relationship with your mother, and so today is not an easy day. Maybe you've been trying to become a mom, and it just seems like it's not happening and it's not going to happen, and you're discouraged and you're downhearted today. And if so, today, if Mother's Day is a painful day for you, I can assure you this morning, God understands and He deeply cares about the pain that you're experiencing today. And so if today is a hard day for you, I pray that God will comfort you. I pray that He'll give you your deepest needs and your deepest satisfactions. I pray will be met today on what's a hard day for you. I came across a story this week that was fascinating for me. An experiment was done by the Washington Post in which they took a man by the name of Joshua Bell. Now, that may not ring a bell to you, but he is the world's most renowned violinist, incredibly talented, and people come from miles around and pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to watch him perform. Well, the Washington Post took Joshua Bell and put him at the metro station in Washington, D.C., put him in jeans and a t-shirt and a ball cap, stationed him beside the trash can. They set him down with his $3 million Stradivarius, and they opened in front of him a violin case and put some change in there, and they placed him there for an hour during the busiest time because they wanted to see as an experiment if the world's most talented violinist would proceed to play the finest pieces of music ever composed, if he could get the attention in a common setting of busy people to slow down and take notice of the beauty and the wonder of his talent. And Joshua Bell, the most renowned violinist, played for an hour on the floor at the metro station in Washington, D.C. during afternoon busy traffic. And after he played for an hour, he had a grand total of $32 in his violin case. What's interesting is 3 days prior to that, Joshua Bell sold out the Boston Symphony Hall that people paid $100 for the cheapest seats and thousands of dollars to sit close. Yet 3 days later, he's sitting on the floor at the metro station and earned $32 because people were just too busy to stop and take notice of the world's most renowned, breathtaking, talented man who was playing a $3 million instrument. I couldn't help but think as I read that story, I couldn't help but compare that to Mother's Day, and that the vast majority of us will walk by some of the world's most talented women who are blessed to be moms, who are doing what just comes natural. And many of us walk by without ever noticing or taking in the breathtaking beauty of what they're doing. So much of what moms do takes place at an inconvenient time in just common settings while they're doing common things. And many people walk by without ever noticing that they are in the presence of watching greatness on display. And so today, I don't want us to miss it. I want us to stop and take notice and enjoy the beauty and the wonder of motherhood. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this: "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So here's the point that I want to make today. When moms are doing what you do on a daily basis, you're setting an example of God for your children. And as mothers who follow God's example, we set an example to your children. I can think of at least three ways that moms set the example of God to their children: by how they love, by how they discipline, and how they sacrifice. Now let's just take an in-depth look at each one of those three areas that moms follow the example of God. The first way is by how they love. Now, it's just not easy to always love children who are unlovable. Can I get an amen? Maybe you heard about the senior adult lady who walked into a church one Sunday morning, and she's standing in the foyer in back of the church, and there was a young teenage boy who was standing there, and she said, "Young man, I'm looking for a place to sit." And he said, "I can help you, but I'm going to tell you, you don't want to sit on the front row of this church. We got the world's most boring preacher at this church." She said, "Well, do you happen to know who I am? I'm that boring preacher's mother." He said, "Do you happen to know who I am?" She said, "No, I don't." He said, "Good," ran off into the woods. It's just not always easy to love children. Now, I don't know about you, but I was easy to love. If you'd seen my brother when he was a kid, I was a saint compared to him. My brother, if you could have seen him, you would know why some animals eat their young. It was terrible. I was precious compared to him. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, they said, do you like having your mom in your church? And I said, absolutely. I said, at least I know one person's going to love my sermon every time I preach. And so it's, you know, mothers have this wonderful way of loving their children, if for no other reason than that those children belong to them. If you go to any school event or come to any church event in which children are performing, it's oftentimes that you see moms there with their cameras and they're just recording everything. It doesn't even matter what the kids are doing. It could be something very uninspiring, very unimpressive. Last week we were blessed to have on Easter, we had a beautiful display of children up here and they were spinning ribbons and all the mothers were like, "Look at that, he's doing it better than anybody else is doing it. Boy, he is good. Look at him. He's good." You go to any play at school and their children are tree and they're standing there like that, oftentimes you'll see that mother going, "Look at that, he's the best tree up there. Nobody does a better tree than he does." That's unconditional love. It's what God has given moms. And let me tell you, in this culture that we live in, there are so many children who are struggling in life. They're struggling in school. They're struggling with self-esteem and self-worth. There are many that are being bullied. There are many that are being made fun of and criticized and ostracized. And it's that unconditional love that mom and dad provide that makes that child okay. I read a story recently about a little boy whose name was Ben. This is many years ago. He grew up in Detroit. His dad left at a very young age. He was raised by his mother, and he went to a terrible school, and everybody in school called him Dummy. That was just his nickname in class. They called him Dummy. Grades beyond him called him Dummy. In fact, he was fourth grade. He got in a fight with another student because one student stopped him in the hall, and he said, "I don't know if you're the dumbest kid in class or if you're the dumbest kid in school." And he finally fought back. And the words of his classmates continually beat him down, and he had low self-worth and low self-esteem. But fortunately, he had a mother at home who was raising him, who thought he hung the moon, and she constantly told him how smart he was, all the potential that he had, how successful he was going to be one day. And she made Ben read 2 books a week and do book reports and give it to her twice a week. Her unconditional love and support and building him up and encouragement began to win the day. And by 7th grade, Ben was at the top of his class. And when he graduated, he was given a full scholarship to Yale. And when he finished Yale, he was given a full scholarship to the University of Michigan Medical School. Now, Dr. Ben Carson is well known as a professor in Johns Hopkins Medical Center, and he's world renowned as a surgeon who takes on the most complicated surgeries for kids with head injuries and spinal cord injuries. In fact, he was the first surgeon to ever separate Siamese twins who were joined at the head. Not too shabby for the dumbest kid in the school. Years later, a reporter asked him, they said, why do you let your mother live in your home with your family? And Ben Carson said this, "You don't understand. If it were not for that woman, I wouldn't be living in this home. She's earned this." Unconditional love, support, encouragement is what children need. That's the character that God possesses. And I'm overwhelmingly thankful for the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says this, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then it condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep led to be slaughtered." Verse 37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Now, you may have grown up in a home where there was not that unconditional love. Can I encourage you today? We have a Heavenly Father whose love is unconditional, whose acceptance is not conditioned upon our behavior. God accepting us is not conditioned upon anything that we've done, but it's upon what He did at Calvary. So I've got some good news for you on this Mother's Day. God's perfect, unconditional love does not depend on our ability to earn it. It depends on His ability to freely give it. That's what Paul says. It is, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Who can condemn us? No one. Jesus Christ, who died for us, even more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. My friends, God loves you. He gave His very best for you. He emptied heaven of its greatest treasure to give to you. God's not set out to condemn you and to judge you. God has set out to love you. And today, Jesus is at the right hand of God, making intercession for you because He loves you. And if you're a believer, you can have faith today that nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus. Paul says, not death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither anything present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. My friend, can I tell you, your position as His child is secure by Jesus. And many times on Mother's Day, we see that kind of love given in mothers, that sacrificial, unconditional love. But I want you to see the second example of love that mothers provide is not only unconditional love, but secondly, I want you to see discipline. If your mama loves you unconditionally, she will discipline you unapologetically. I love the story that I read recently of Laura Bush. She tells the story where her and her husband George were at his parents' ranch in Texas, and they got up one morning. George Jr. got up and he made him a cup of coffee, and he came into the living room where George Sr. and Miss Barbara were sitting on the couch, and George Jr. plopped down on the couch and he propped his feet up on the coffee table, and Miss Barbara, his mama, said this, "George, get your feet off that table." And George Sr. said, "For goodness sakes, Barbara, he's the president of the United States." She said, "I don't care who he is. He's not putting his feet on my table." And Laura promptly observed that even presidents have to obey their mamas. You see, if you're a mom, discipline is not optional. And I'm not just talking about exclusive punishment. I'm not talking about spanking and all that. That's up to you to decide how you want to handle that. I'm talking about the discipline of guidance and training and instructing and helping and restricting. Moms, listen, you've got to show your children how to clean their room. You've got to show them how to do their homework. You've got to restrict them what they watch on TV, what they look at on the computer, what they play in their video games. The mom helps provide that kind of instruction and discipline. Bob Russell is a great preacher in our culture and generation. And he tells a story about being a teenager. And he said his mother had one rule, that he could not be home alone with a girl. And over he would complain because he was dating this girl. She was a good girl. He was a good kid. And over he would tell his mom and appeal to her, "Why don't you trust me?" She said, "Because it's too much temptation." And Bob said this years later, "I would always act like I was hurt by my mother's rule and always act like I was hurt that she didn't trust me. But deep down inside, I was thinking, Mom's pretty sharp because I'm really not trustworthy at this stage in life." And so he said, "Now I look back on her rules, I look back on her discipline, and it makes me thankful that she loved me enough to restrict me and to discipline me." And of course, all his mother saw was his frustration and his anger and his outburst. He said, "But that did not stop my mom from disciplining me and loving me unconditionally." Discipline provides coaching. It provides training. It provides guiding. Sometimes it's punishing. Sometimes it's spanking. Sometimes it's consequences. But a mom's discipline is showing the example of God. Why is that? Because the Bible says that whom God loves, He disciplines. Because God loves you, He's going to only let you go so far. And when you cross that line, He provides discipline. Why? Because He's a loving Heavenly Father. And so oftentimes when we're out there in areas that we should not be, God will provide discipline. He'll introduce some hardships to come our way. And when hardships come, the Bible tells us to endure it because God uses that discipline. He uses those hardships to shape us and to train us and to mold us into His image. Now, if we were to all be honest, we would have to say that training and shaping and molding, it's painful.
That's why they call it hardships. It's painful now, it's hard now, but down the road it produces, listen, a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained and molded and shaped. If you ask a person who is older and wiser and stronger in their faith, how did you grow wiser? How did you grow stronger? How did your faith take shape? They will often say, my faith was grown when it was stretched, when tough times came and hardships came, that's when my faith grew stronger. So God uses discipline to train, to mold, to shape. It hurts us in the present, but the long-term results are effective. And godly mothers know that even though discipline is not enjoyable in the present, when it's done with love and it's done with wisdom, the long-term effects are powerful and effective. And so godly moms love, godly moms discipline, but I want you to see thirdly and finally that godly moms sacrifice. How do we even begin to talk about the sacrifices that mothers make? I see a lot of parents of newborns here with us this morning, and bless your heart, you're sacrificing sleep, you're sacrificing convenience, you're sacrificing comfort. You probably haven't had a hot meal unless it's a corn dog or chicken nuggets in the microwave in weeks. You know, one thing that moms sacrifice so much of the time is their independence. Someone wisely said this, the moment you become a mother, you're never alone in your thoughts. Every mother has to think twice, once for themselves and once for their child. See, real love is not sentimental. Real love is a grind. And when you're a mom, so many days it's just grinding. It's trying to get through. I think back about when Annie was young and she lived at home. And even when she was a baby and became a child and then became a young lady, I had it easy because Tammy was so nurturing and so involved. She would sacrifice her evenings to pick Annie up from practice. She would come home. She would cook supper. She would help Annie with homework. I was no help after about third grade. Listen, when math added a letter to the equation, I was done. That was it. Throw in the towel. I can't go from here. If Annie was ever sick, she didn't want me. She wanted Mama. If she had a bad dream, she didn't want me. She wanted Mama. Oftentimes, she'll call me even now, and I say, hey, she said, hey, have you heard from Mama? I hadn't been able to get her today. I think about the Saturdays that Tammy would sacrifice going to the grocery store, going prom dress shopping in Atlanta. Whatever hobby Annie was into, Tammy prioritized her mornings, her afternoons, her evenings to help with Annie. I had it easy. I was busy doing ministry trying to help God's people, but Tammy's ministry was to Annie. And I think back about all those sacrifices, and I look around at our church and all the sacrifices that you mothers are making. Each sacrifice is rich and beautiful and lovely and precious. And I'm so impressed. I'm so inspired. I feel like when I see what you're doing, I feel like I'm watching Joshua Bell play a beautiful Stradivarius in a metro station, because much of what you do, it seems like it may be going unnoticed, and it may seem like your husband, your family, the people around you, your co-workers, nobody knows the sacrifices that you're making. But can I tell you this? God knows and God sees, and He's going to bless each and every sacrifice that you're making on your children's behalf. And so there has to be that unconditional love. There has to be those sacrifices. There has to be that discipline. And the beauty of what mothers provide, if we'll just stop long enough and watch it, the beauty and the wonder of what God is doing through those mothers will take our breath away, because it reflects the love, the discipline, and the sacrifice that God has made on our behalf. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in your humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of others and in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see the sacrifice of God? God didn't stay up in heaven and say, follow my commandments, but he came down here in the form of a child named Jesus and said, follow his example. When Jesus came down from heaven, he left behind the splendor and glory of and worship and true perfection to come down here to make atonement for our behalf. Jesus sacrificed everything for us. Verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So many of you ladies here today, you're sitting here thinking, I just feel like a servant. All I do is pick up clothes, load and unload the dishwasher, stop and get something to eat, cook. Nobody ever says thank you. Nobody ever says I appreciate it. Listen, you're appreciated today. Today is your day. And we thank you for your sacrifices. We thank you for all that you do. Being a mom is not easy. It is the toughest job that you'll ever love. And if God has blessed you to be a mother, then we bless you today, knowing that oftentimes you're hurt by the ungratefulness of those whom you serve. But if you're a mother, you keep loving unconditionally, you keep disciplining unapologetically, and you keep sacrificing those mornings, those days, those evenings, those nights, because there's some around you, we're your heroes. We're your biggest supporters. You're our greatest hero. We love you. We appreciate so much what you do. And oftentimes when I watch what mothers do, I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness, like watching Joshua Bell play a Stradivarius in the metro station. I am in awe of what many of you are doing, because it's a tough job. Days, it's a grind. Stay at it. Keep doing what you're doing. You may not feel appreciated, but you are. I'm thankful for the mothers of this church. I'm thankful for my mother, and I'm thankful for the mother of my child, and I'm thankful for you. God bless you. You're appreciated. You're loved. We thank you for all that you do. Let's pray together. Simple invitation this morning. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I invite you to come. There's no greater need. If you've never reached out to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I beg you today, I strongly implore you to come today. If you're looking for a church to join, you can visit around, but you'll not find a more loving, friendlier church than Lizella Baptist. Or maybe you just need someone to pray with you. Maybe you feel like as a parent that it's not going well, that you're losing the battle, and you need someone to pray with you, you need someone to encourage you. I'd be honored to do that. I know Brother Rick would be happy to do that as well. Whatever God's leading you to do in this time of invitation, I pray that you'd respond. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd have your way. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'll be standing down front. You come as he leads.